Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning as we continue our path of Advent, this time where we mark the Sundays before Christmas. It's decorated. It's just kind of cozy and nice. And I want to make sure I say thank you to everybody who was here yesterday and helped us with that decoration. We had some new faces. We had some faces that have been around for a long time. We have some faces that we have been around but haven't been for a while because of COVID. It was a wonderful day. And thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm glad that we're all here today so that we can add our voice to those in worship throughout all of creation. Couple of brief announcements. First of all, the Thrift Shop is doing their Santa and Elves workshop this coming Saturday, December 10th, from 10 till noon, and then from 12:15 to 2. The Thrift Shop is looking for donations of new or gently used toys. They're looking for donations of Christmas gift bags. If you're looking and have any of those things, you can please, please, please donate them to the Thrift Shop. But we're also looking for volunteers to help with that really important and special event. So if you are free this coming Saturday morning from 10 to noon, from 12:15 to 2, please stop by and help with this amazing and fun day. The other announcement I have is that your 2023 contribution envelopes are ready and they're available, and we've moved them so that they're over by the Water Street entrance, just in case that you walk out that way, and that way you have a chance to get them. All right? We have gathered this morning so that we might be in worship together. So let us continue that worship with the lighting of the Advent wreath. Please rise. Praise to you, O God, who gives us courage to start again. You fasten righteousness around your waist and baptize with the Holy Spirit's fire. Bless us as we mirror your mighty fire in these simple flames. And teach us to mirror your justice in the paths we prepare. We ask that peace abound until none hurt or destroy over all the earth. Amen. Our gathering song is Prepare the Way, and we sing together.
He has come to bring light into the darkness. He has come to bring freedom to the captives. He has come. Hearted. It's time to proclaim the year of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way for our Redeemer. Prepare the way. Prepare the way for our Restorer. Make ready your heart. To bring hope to the hopeless, he has come. To comfort all who mourn, he has come. To heal our every sickness, it's time to proclaim the year of the Lord. Of God, prepare the way.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way for your only Son. By his coming, nurture our growth as people of repentance and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 11. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is from Romans chapter 15. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of this Holy Spirit, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew in the third chapter. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. The Gospel of our Lord. The congregation may be seated, but I would love to invite any children to come on forward. Good morning. Here she comes. Good morning. All right. Now, when I was growing up, I was told by my mother and all kinds of other people never to do this. Have you ever been told, don't point at someone? All right. Especially if you're pointing at your little brother to blame him for everything. Because I was always told there's one finger pointing this way and three more pointing back at you. Right? But I was told never point. And yet today, John the Baptist in the gospel story is pointing to Jesus. That's what he's doing. He's pointing to Jesus. He says, yes, we all need to repent, but someone is coming. I shouldn't even be able to carry his dirty, smelly sandals. John is pointing to Jesus. Now, imagine this. 15 years ago or something like that, I was told by another pastor that what I should be doing is pointing to Jesus. That we should all be pointing to Christ, like John the Baptist. All right? So should we do it with our fingers? Well, if you need to, yeah. There's a picture of Jesus, you know. There's the cross. We get to point to Jesus, though, with our lives, with our hearts, with the things we do for each other, with the things we do for the people we love in our family, with the things we do for complete and total strangers sometimes. Jesus lived a life of love for you, for me. And so we get to point to that source of love. We get point to the love of God that comes to us in Jesus Christ, and we do that by living that love. So even though I was told as a kid I shouldn't do this, I'm going to point to Jesus, and I hope you will too. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for coming among us as a human being. We thank you for the love that you share. Help us to point to you, to point to your love, point to God's kingdom, so that what we do makes this world better. We thank you for today, Lord. Amen. Thank you for being here, lady. And I'm sorry if I was harsh in the pointing. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As Advent is now continuing, in the Gospel we find ourselves in the wilderness near Judea, near the Jordan River, just outside of Jerusalem. We're out there and we see John the Baptist in all his weird clothes and we hear his message of repentance. So we watch and we listen. We see as John interacts with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, scolding them towards true repentance. And then finally we see John do what John does best. He points to Christ. To the one coming after with the Holy Spirit, with the winnowing fork, and with fire. It is Advent, and we are in the midst of it now. Matthew, in his gospel today, makes a point of describing how John the Baptist was dressed and then what he ate. Matthew was trying to show us a prophet like we saw in the Old Testament, looking like Isaiah, like Elijah, or one of those other prophets of the wilderness. Now, all of those prophets were known to Matthew's original audience for that gospel. They listened to John because he was like Elijah. We listen to John because of his message of repentance, of turning back to God and living lives that prepare the way of the Lord. When John the Baptist sees the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming towards him for baptism, maybe what he's seeing is people that he knew from his childhood. Maybe he saw classmates. Maybe he saw those people he had spent time with talking and debating different parts of the law. But when John sees them coming, he calls them vipers. Slithery, sneaky, deadly adversary. Because John knows the message that they bring. A message of complete obedience and compliance to their understanding of the law. Theirs is not a message of repentance, but rather of subjugation. And John warns them that the axe is lying at the root. You see, for John, it's all about repentance. We're walking away from God and away from God's plan for humanity. We believe that if we know what to do, and we can do it just fine, and if we do it just fine, then who really cares about those who don't know it or can't do it? Oh, well, not my problem. You see, there's an arrogance about the Pharisees' message. There is a pride that surrounds the Sadducees as they move forward with their understanding and with their demands. John's message, like the message of the prophets of old, was to remember the widow and orphan. Don't think too highly of yourself. Care for the people around you. John isn't encouraging us to berate our neighbors for not getting it. He's urging us to care and help the people around us and then to repent, to turn back toward God. John's message then ends with his most powerful point. The Messiah is coming, bringing the Holy Spirit and fire. You see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they believed that only after all of Israel, that is, all of God's people followed the 613 laws they found in the mitzvot, then the Messiah would come. John's message is that the Messiah is coming soon. The kingdom is near at hand. The Messiah is coming with fire and an axe and a winnowing fork. The Messiah is coming, driving us all to repentance and new lives as God's children. John's message may seem harsh, but John is working for the benefit of all people, even for the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Because in John's metaphor, the axe chops things down and leaves stumps. The axe of God's righteousness in Jesus Christ our Lord cuts down our fruitless lives of sin and selfishness. But you see, John also knows what we heard from Isaiah today. Isaiah shows us that from stumps can burst new life. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, Isaiah says. That's describing Jesus coming for our salvation, but it's also an image that we can hold on to. That from the stump of our old sinful lives can grow a new life as God's child. A new life following the Messiah. A new life following Jesus. And from Isaiah, we continue to hear that this new life is lived with gifts of the Holy Spirit. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in God's presence. We pray for all of those gifts to come at every baptism we do. We pray for them at confirmation services. We pray for them at weddings. We celebrate their presence as we do funerals together. We have learned from Isaiah and from John the Baptist that these gifts are ours through God's grace. And we get the daily opportunity to live all of those gifts in our lives. As we live those gifts, Isaiah shows us that we can bring in the peaceful kingdom. Now, we don't often see wolves and lambs hanging out together or leopards and kids just having fun. We don't often glimpse children playing with poisonous snakes. But if we can roll with the metaphor, we see that living with these gifts of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might, of knowledge, fear of the Lord, joy in God's presence, if we live with those, that leads to wildly divergent people and circumstances combining in peace with care and love all around. That is what John the Baptist is pointing toward. Life in the kingdom of God. The one who is coming is bringing that kingdom, the kingdom of peace, the kingdom of righteousness, the kingdom of salvation, the kingdom of God. For us to see that kingdom, to participate in that kingdom, to help that kingdom to grow, we need to repent. We need to set aside our selfishness and our arrogance. We need to set the axe to the root of our sinfulness and allow God to help the shoot that will grow from that stump. In Advent, these are the things that we anticipate, that we celebrate, that we participate in daily. As we rid ourselves of the chaff in our lives, as we allow Christ to toss that chaff up with His winnowing fork so that the wind of the Holy Spirit will blow it away, we become children of God and part of that kingdom. As the axe chops the dead tree of our sinfulness and the shoot grows from our stump, we follow Jesus, our risen Lord, into lives of care and peace, of love and hope for all. As we await Jesus coming into our lives, we are called today to repent, to join with all of God's children striving to love the kingdom of God into reality for all people. So today, we get to join with John the Baptist as we go into the world pointing to Christ, pointing to His love and care, pointing to the life that He lived, pointing to His suffering and death, but most importantly, pointing to His resurrection and our new life in God's love. Let's get pointing. Amen. Please rise as we join together now in prayer. As we prepare for the fullness of Christ's presence, let us pray for a world that yearns for new hope. God, You renew the church in every age. We give thanks for hymn writers and theologians. Inspire teachers, writers, and musicians to delight and instruct Your people. Lord, in Your mercy, You give us a vision of creation in harmony, when hurting and destruction will be no more. Teach us to be stewards of the earth and companions to its creatures. Restore to balance and wholeness what human greed has harmed. Lord, in Your mercy, You defend the cause of all who are poor and oppressed. Raise up leaders who will govern with equity and serve the common good. Guide judges, lawmakers, and public officials to protect the rights of those who cannot advocate for themselves. Lord, in Your mercy, You deliver those in need from suffering and fear. Come to the aid of any who are exploited or abused, especially children, elders, and victims of human trafficking. Provide safety and help to our neighbors without shelter, refugees, and those fleeing violence. Lord, in Your mercy, God of healing and grace, there are many who need Your presence and power. We pray for those who suffer illness and injury with ill accident and disease. We also pray for these who are known to us, who need Your wholeness, Your strength, and Your health. We pray for Bob, Sharon, Janet, Fran, Carol, Jack, Judith, John, Vivian, Rhonda, Kevin, Mike, Cody, John and Kathy, Logan, Emily, Don, and Parker. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, and save us all. Lord, in Your mercy, You urge Your people to welcome one another as You have welcomed us. Nurture ministries of hospitality and care in this and every congregation. We pray for people who are homebound, hospitalized, or separated from loved ones. Lord, in Your mercy, You embrace all who have died trusting in Your promises, and we give thanks for their faithful witness. Sustain us in hope until we are united with them in the joy of Your eternal presence. Lord, in Your mercy, God of our longing, You know our deepest needs. By Your Spirit, gather our prayers and join them with the prayers of all Your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We join together now in our Advent confession of sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of Your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love You and worthily magnify Your holy name through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May your week be filled with blessings as you go into the world with hope.
God's vision and our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.